Good morning again. Good to see everybody. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. On this so-called time of Thanksgiving, my argument is to that is we're grateful 24/7. I'm going to talk to you about griping and complaining. But we'll get to that here in a moment. As you know, David is sick, and I usually get the warning about Tuesday or Wednesday, and then usually by Friday I say I'm good, I don't worry about it. But instead, on Friday I got, what's the sermon of your title? I mean, the title of your sermon, and I went, okay, that means I'm up, I'm good. So so a lot of things went through my mind, as is due when we're preaching, and I was thinking about this day, what the world looks at considering this day. And I've always been one that doesn't really usually bite on that. I just take opportunity to keep talking about God's word and how we can be strengthened and encouraged. And so I'm gonna stay with what I normally do on situations like this. But I want to talk with you and share with you kind of why I want to cover this subject. And sometimes when you see a title like this, sometimes the first thought is, wow, is Scott going to kind of get on us here? No, not at all. I look at everything in the Bible as opportunity to us either to learn, to get strength from, to appreciate what we have. So what got me thinking about this, and I actually shifted gears yesterday right in the middle of a Saturday. I just completely took my original plan, set it aside, and said I'm going this direction. I've been following Greg's Facebook about Melissa. And as I read these, everything was gratitude. Everything was how gracious he was, how even though he was worried about a few things, he was so glad that, you know, now she's got the tube out and she's breathing and she's having conversations. And I don't know if you read this morning's Facebook post, but they're hoping to take her pizza. You know, and then on top of that, he posts pictures of what he and the kids did today in their morning with the idea of Christmas and exchanging their gifts. And I thought, wow. And then I'm thinking about Donna. I didn't know Donna was going to be here today. And I think about Donna. As you know, I've known Donna forever. And being well aware of what she goes through and what it takes for her to get here. And still out of the blue, Carolyn and I will get a text, how are you guys doing? I'm thinking, Donna, how are you doing? How are you guys doing today? What's are you guys doing okay? And then I think of John and Val Gardner back east. And what that family is facing right now. And everything, I got to talk to John a little bit when we were back in South Carolina earlier in the year. And everything out of his mouth was graciousness, was gratitude, was look at the opportunities before us. And as I'm listening and I'm watching our friends right here struggling, and I know there's more. I know there's more of us going through some real uncertainties right now. I was really appreciative, but I was ashamed. I was ashamed of myself because I'm thinking, what do I have to grumble about? We're going to get into the text here in a moment. What do I have to complain about? Being a child of God, purchased with Christ's blood, with heaven waiting for me, just like we talked about with Paul this morning as we closed out 2 Timothy. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And as you're turning there, it's again, this is one of those beautiful letters. We often call it the letter of joy because Paul's talking about joyous things. He's grateful. He's in prison and he's thankful. And no matter what his situation is, he says in chapter 2, whether I stay, which is I think what God wants me to do for now, or go, I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to take advantage of this situation. I'm going to take advantage of this situation of being in prison, and I'm going to glorify God. And I think his situation kind of helps support the things that I want to share with you this morning. So if you want to look at, just kind of look at chapter 1 and 2. I just want to highlight a couple things. He begins with thanksgiving. He's so grateful. And then he goes on to talk about the advancement of the gospel, which I find has always been interesting because even in unconventional means, the gospel was still advanced. It still moved forward. And then he goes on the latter part of chapter 1 and in chapter 2. He begins to talk about being in Christ and having this relationship with Christ. And he's telling these Philippians, which I think is really just a letter of encouragement, a letter to build them up. I see it as a letter to challenge them as well. Challenge them to a higher service for God. And as he's doing that, he says, live your life worthy of the gospel. He says there in the latter part of chapter 1. And we get into chapter 2 and he starts talking about Christ. So let's pick up the reading in chapter 2, verse 12. And I'll tie a few things together for us here. Because Paul's going to lay down some really powerful words of encouragement. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hold fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain nor labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I want you to notice here as we get into verse 14, I want you to notice the connection that Paul makes between Christ leaving heaven, coming down and humbling himself as a servant, even to the point of obedient, to the point of death, the death on the cross, as he points out. And then he goes to these words, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he says, do all things. We're going to talk about the all things here in a moment. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. I believe we could also look at words as complaining, murmuring, fussing. There's a number of words that would be appropriate there. But that's the idea. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Now, here's what I want you all to do for me. I want you to think about what you're grateful for right now. Don't worry. I'm not gonna call on you. I want you to take a moment and just say, what am I grateful for? And just let that... We have a full house today. Got a lot of visitors. There's going to be some full tables today. There's some really happy grandparents in the room, getting to see their babies and have the families together. And as you're thinking about that, I want you to think about how good God is. I want you to think about the fact that God created you and I for a purpose. And within that purpose, he gives us everything we need. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And because of his amazing love, because he is righteous and he wants a relationship with us, he has provided for us that avenue through the gift of his son. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as I'm going over these things, I want you to keep telling yourself or thinking to yourself just how good God is. In his mercy, he assures us of his promises. The promises that Peter points out allow us to live a godly life with him. We don't have to worry about a lot of things. He gave us this word to guide us. This Bible we open here on the Lord's Day or on Wednesday night, and I know you open at home, and you read, and you look for instruction, and it reminds us of his plans for us. Plans that are for our good. He gives us hope for the future. He sustains us in this life. And say it to yourself again, God is so good. He promises to take care of us on this earthly journey. He promises to encourage us when we are worn out, when we are exhausted. comfort us when we are in pain. He gives us the abundant life that only He can give. John chapter 10, verse 10. God is so good. So why do we complain? Just let that sit for a moment. Why do we sometimes complain, grumble, as he points out here, dispute, even among ourselves? I believe what Paul wants us to consider, or I want us to consider this morning, is how do we follow Jesus? How do we follow His example and give Him glory if we do these things, this grumbling, this disputing, these things that may happen among God's people? And I don't believe for a moment here that Paul is just talking about don't grumble and complain in church. He's going to talk about our being lights to the world. I think Paul is talking on a very broad spectrum here. And how can God work in us for good? How can God in His righteousness and His plan for us work in us in such a way for His glory, for grumbling, for complaining? How can God do that? My first question is, what does God think about grumbling and complaining? I think there's a place we can go, and it's called the Old Testament. When Paul looks at this word here, he uses this word grumbling, it takes me back to a time between Egypt and Canaan, where we meet a group of experienced grumblers, a group of experienced complainers. And asking ourselves, what do the 40 years in this wilderness teach us? Now, it's my understanding Paul only uses this word grumbling here in this letter. I might be wrong on that, but it's a similar word used in the Old Testament to describe the murmurings of Israel in the wilderness. And this is where we get this clear picture of God and His feelings about complaining. And while I would love to go to Exodus and Numbers and look at so many things, we can get a quick overview of this in Hebrews chapter 3, if you want to turn over there real quick. Hebrews, the third chapter. And really, we could look at verses 7 through 19. But let me just pick it up in verse 12. The writer says, "Take care, brothers, lest any of you have an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. Let none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter my rest, but to those who were disobedient? See to it that they were unable to enter because of unbelief." As you might say, the straw that broke the camel's back was when they complained about going into the land of Canaan and driving out the inhabitants. And that did it. There, over 600 men of war lost their lives, where God said, and He swore in His wrath, "They will not enter my rest." Now ask the question, how does God feel about complaining? He doesn't tolerate it. He doesn't tolerate that we grumble and dispute. That's why Paul says, do everything without that. We'll get into that a little bit more. But let's talk about the problem of grumbling and complaining for a moment. It might be kind of obvious, but I want to share some things with you. First of all, I would begin by just looking within the household of faith, because Paul is talking to Christians here. As I look out among the number here and I look at our common love and our common bond and the things that we have together, what good is it for us to grumble and complain and gripe and dispute about things that we ought not dispute about? Things that we shouldn't be grumbling about. Because grumbling is the opposite of rejoicing. I do appreciate our brother last night, Brother Jared. Did I get that right? I appreciated his sermon, going from sorrow to joy. In fact, his PowerPoint was still up here, and I was reading it a little bit. appreciated the thoughts that he shared with us, that we can go from sorrow to joy and that our joy is found in Christ. But the idea here is that grumbling and disputing and complaining cannot coexist with the same person who's claiming to be a child of God. And it's serious. It's a serious thing to consider. These instructions that he gives here in Philippians come after some significant points that Paul makes back in verses 2 and 4. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about imitating Christ. He's talking about Christ's humility. And he talks about the fact that we need to esteem each other. We need to consider each other more important than ourselves. And on the coattails of this is when he brings this, I don't want you to be doing this. I don't want this grumbling. I don't want this complaining taking place. And he points to Jesus, the supreme example of this. Because when we complain, when we grumble, for whatever reasons, and it's not my purpose today to get into the specifics of what are these things. Paul's saying, don't do it. Paul's saying, if you're a child of God, these things ought not be happening among God's people. So maybe I'll just say, what am I doing when I'm griping and complaining and murmuring? I'm being inconvenienced. Something's not right. And I don't want to make light of this, but I look at this as, think of an example. I'm not saying this happened, I'm just as an example. My coffee was just not hot enough. I'm not saying Paul's talking about coffee or going to Starbucks here. I'm just saying there is an example here. So I'm going to go back and let that coffee maker, barista, whatever you call them, just let them know how I feel. Do you know I paid $4 for a cup of coffee or whatever it is nowadays? And it wasn't hot? So I'm going to go and I'm going to gripe. What's my point? My point is that should not belong. That should not come out of the mouth or the heart of a child of God who's claiming to walk with Christ. The mind of Christ sees the things in the terms of others. Think about it this way. Whether we're worshiping together, every time we discuss something, even if we have a disagreement, and by the way, Paul's not saying no disagreements here. Paul's not saying don't disagree. That's not at all what he's saying. But when these things take place, every time we come together, every time we converse, there is an opportunity. There is an opportunity for us to demonstrate the love of Christ. If you want to think about a Starbucks drive-thru or somebody that you've gone to a restaurant or done something and you greet this individual who's maybe had a really rough day with a smile, with a thank you, there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity to shine, is which Paul's going to get to here in just a moment. There's an opportunity to just demonstrate our love, because we need to realize that our arguing or our complaining and our arguing is a result of losing our servant mentality. He says, if you do these things, you do this, you're losing, let's go back to Christ, the humble servant, the example. You're losing that. Here's a thought that came to my mind as I was putting this together. What do I expect in this life? What, and I want you to ask the question, what am I expecting in this life? If God is allowing our lives, which he does, to be filled with trials and temptations, setbacks, disappointments, if I have to deal with imperfect people, if we have to deal with each other, who are we to complain? Because this is life. As much as I love all of you, I see a bunch of imperfect people. You're looking at an imperfect person. Who are we to complain? I think sometimes we forget that we live in an imperfect world. in our walk with Christ. And I was talking to someone a while back, not from here, and they said, you know, Scott, God just wants me to be happy. And I was like, okay, do I bite? What do you mean? God just wants me to be happy. And this person went on to say, and when I'm not happy, I'm going to complain about all the interruptions to that happiness. Now, maybe that's another sermon, but nowhere in the scriptures does God tell us he just wants us to be happy here. Because if it isn't here, I'm going to tell you right now, I've not been happy on this journey. There have been too many setbacks. There have been too many disappointments. There's been too many times that people have let me down. There's been too many times I've let other people down. There's been too many times that I've complained. No, God wants me to have a relationship with him. Our service to God will seldom, if ever, be met without resistance. Remember, we're in a spiritual battle. Remember that Satan wants us to hang on to this world. And God's not going to remove the resistance, because this is where our light shines. And this is, I think this is the big point here. The world is watching us. Parents, our children are watching us. I was talking this morning in Bible class about gospel preaching and some of the trials that I faced. And I remember one time when the kids were little, something happened and I was livid. And Carolyn was just like, we need to get you in the car. And we got in the car and I've got four little ones in the back. And I started in and I'm getting this elbow. Bam. What? Shh. What? I'm angry. She says, look in the rearview mirror. Five kids listening to dad complain about things and murmur about things and say things that other ears should hear, say things that I should have saved to a talk to that brother or sister about. Never forget that moment. It changed me. They either see our light shine or they see our hypocrisy as we proclaim a relationship with him, yet we do these things. But it's not going to matter how sound we are in our teaching. It's not going to matter what a great Bible student you are. It's not going to matter how perfect your attendance is. Grumbling and complaining, as Paul is pointing to here, as we are reminded with the children of Israel, God will not tolerate. He is not going to overlook that. It's a serious matter. If God can look at a people and say, you will not enter my rest. Because what he was saying there, in their grumbling and complaining, where's the water? We need more water. We had better food here. Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? Oh, here's 12 springs and 70 palm trees. Why don't you enjoy that? Yeah, but what about this? What about that? They were displaying their unbelief. I don't want to stand before God and have him say, you can't enter my rest because you didn't trust me. Because you didn't believe. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16? We are lights of the world. Look at verse 16, Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Holding fast the word of light, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain and labor in vain. Paul says we're holding fast to this word. Not only means that we're holding it, that we are abiding by it, but we're putting it forth to the world. We're putting this word out there to the world in our behavior. With these opportunities that God sets before us. And again, what does this have to do with grumbling and complaining? The world is listening. When Paul here is talking about being lights, you Philippians, you're on out there and you are a light. The world is watching. The world is listening. We don't want to send a conflicting message. Question we might ask ourselves is, are we producing godliness or sinfulness? Because I tell you one thing I've learned, this grumbling and complaining, this disputing can be contagious. And I don't just mean that you're grumbling because I'm grumbling, but I might invite you into my grumbling match. I might invite you into my complaint. You know, Scott, yeah, I see what you're, yeah. Let's do something about this. Here's an example I have shared. I'm going to share it again. So then I was in a machine shop. I didn't get this from a brother in Christ. I got this from a supervisor. Finished my apprenticeship program, and I'm in a machine shop, and I'm doing this awesome trade. And I was complaining about a few things. So my coworkers, you know, because coworkers aren't perfect. I didn't know if you know that or not. They're tough to deal with sometimes. And I went to my supervisor, and it was kind of a personal issue with me and this individual. And he stops me, just stops me, goes, just stop. I said, what? And I was worked up. What? He says, have you talked to him? I says, no. He goes, and I don't want to hear it, and walked off. Took the wind out of my sails. This man wasn't even a child of God, but he recognized I was brewing and starting something there, that there was a right way to deal with it. The problem is, I don't know about you. Let me back up here, is we don't want to be around individuals like this. Would you agree with me? It's exhausting, isn't it? It's just exhausting. I like happy people who are appreciative of things. And there's a lot in this audience, but I'm going to share with you an individual that Carolyn and I met about 3 months ago. Her name is Maria. I don't know her last name because she's Ukrainian. Her and her family are refugees, and they came over before everything broke out. And Maria was looking to make ends meet. So Carolyn says, well, we could do some things around the house. Here's some things you could do for us. Well, in this several months now that we've known Maria and her family, they invited us to his birthday party for her husband. We've learned a lot. By our standards, Maria and her family in Ukraine are poor. Just poor. Some of the things that she shared with us. But in that, you say, well, she must complain. No, that's just it. She's always showing appreciation. She appreciated what we offered her on behalf of her services. And she says, oh, that's too much. And I says, you live in the United States. This is not too much. This is okay. And she saw our chicken eggs on the table. She says, oh, I love fresh chicken eggs. So not only does Jenny get fresh chicken eggs, but Maria gets fresh chicken eggs too. But in this, she's always grateful. She says, we've never could afford a Christmas tree. Our kids have never gotten gifts. When we went to her husband's birthday party, everything was homemade from scratch. That's a whole other story. Man, that was amazing. And she was talking to me, and she says, this is our daily life. She goes, we don't go to fast food. We don't go to restaurants. She goes, we can't afford that. And here's this woman who could really have a lot to complain about, and she's telling us how appreciative she is for everything that she has. And I will say that she is a believer. She often says how much she loves God and appreciates God. We're hoping for another connection there, so keep Maria and her family in your prayers. But I want to come back here. I said I was going to look at this. Let's come back to this verse 14, where Paul says, do all things without disputing, complaining, grumbling. Do all things. I'm not convinced that Paul is categorizing there. I believe that he's saying do all things. He's not saying do some things. He's not saying do most things. Paul isn't also telling us to ignore things that need correction. I don't want us to misunderstand that Paul says he wants us to just go through life with a big smile on our face and let everything pass by. There are issues. There are issues we have in our marriages. There's issues we have among each other. But there's a proper way to deal with them. And complaining to disputing is not the way to handle it. Because this grumbling and complaining is really not the heart's responses to circumstances. It's our response to God. We could look at Israel and say, yeah, they griped about water. They griped about this. They were griping. They were murmuring. They were grumbling to God who was providing for them. And if that's the one thing we can take away from this, then amen. If you can just walk out of here today saying that every time I grumble and complain, I'm doing this to God, then that's something we need to think about. So how do we guard against this spiritual cancer? I would just share with you a couple things as we close. Remember, just remember God's provision. Just remember why we're here today. Remember all these things that many of us know. Some of us have known since childhood. Be committed to being that person who is grateful, because just as the ingratitude or the complaining is contagious, so can the joy and the happiness and appreciation. And then finally, be grateful. What rolls off your tongue more easily, complaints or gratitude? That one gets me sometimes. I'm going to close with a story, and I asked Jody for permission, my sister. We were sitting at the dinner table. We were obviously very young. And on our plates were lima beans and canned spinach. Most of you know how I feel about lima beans, right? There is no right way to cook them, so don't try. Don't come up to me afterwards and say, you've got grandma's recipe. Don't bother. But my mom was feeling a moment of, y'all are going to learn a lesson. Because we just looked at this. And I remember Jordan and I looking at each other and said, we can't do this. We didn't have a dog. We had no out on this. And my mom gave us the starving children would even eat the plate argument. And my sister, in all her honesty, I just talked to her about that. She says, what was so funny about that? She says, I really meant this in a right way. She slid the plate over to mom and says, well, you can mail it to them. We ate our lima beans and our canned spinach. What's my point? Circumstances like that are great lesson teachers. Take advantage of them. They're great for us. But there is no better reminder than God's grace. There is no better reminder than as you leave this place today, and I hope that you all have wonderful afternoons as you, I'm sure there's going to be full tables with wonderful food and friends and family, that you take the moment and just maybe do this. I'm just going to throw this out as a suggestion. Go around your table today and ask everybody what they're grateful for. Sorry, everybody, service what you're grateful for. And notice what that does with the mood, if the mood's a little. Think about every time we come together as God's people. What are we grateful for? That we are grateful that I'm looking at a group of people that I believe I'm going to heaven with. I really believe that. I'm grateful that there are individuals in this room that, should I be out of line in my life, will lovingly, caringly come up to me and talk to me because they care, because they love me. The eternal life that we have received through faith in Jesus deserves an eternity of gratitude. So as we close this day, be grateful for what we have. Check your complaining. Check your murmuring. Check your disputing. Check your heart before you engage in these things. Because God will hold us accountable. Thank you for your attention. As we close this morning, we do want to offer an invitation. Anything that you have need on a spiritual matter, if we can pray for you, we would be delighted. If we can study with you, maybe this is your first time visiting with us. Maybe you opened up a Bible this week and just had some curiosity. We would love to study God's Word and share with you why we believe what we believe. But maybe you're in our number. And you're like, I'm ready for this next step. I know Jesus. I know Christ through the Word. Now I'm ready for a relationship with Him. Now I'm ready to begin a walk with Him and let Him guide me. And you do that through your confession of Him as your Christ and Savior and being baptized and having your sins washed away. Think about these things because we all want to go to heaven. Stand and sing.